from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt. Who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies. Yeah, it's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It is bit season, episode 141. Matt Valdez.
That is me, drab t-shirt. That is you.
What's going on, everybody? Hope everybody's having a great week. It is Thursday, so
we are one week away from the annual crab kickoff. Very exciting.
Yeah, Valdez and I are getting excited for that. I think the junkies forget about it. I'm not really sure if they know that it's coming, but
we're gonna get something on the Thursday when they realize the NFL is starting that day.
Yeah,
we're gonna get. Don't we do something every year for this?
Yeah.
I bet you a dollar. That's
early
the sentiment.
No, we'll get it on like Tuesday.
You think so?
Yeah, because we're going to have to tell them that, you know, we're going to have to pimp it a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We'll do the NFL predictions. People always, you know, that segment, I've seen the ratings break down the last couple of years because I'm always curious about it. Like the NFL, the crab kickoff show does really well.
It does, along with the draft show, the mock draft show.
Yes.
It's very, very weird. I think maybe it's because we kind of make a big deal about it.
We should be doing that more often.
Every show is a crab kickoff. I will say I have a sneak peek at the sweatshirts this year.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fire.
I think they're going to be interesting. It was a collab of the producers this year in the side room over there, trying to put something maybe a little different together. But Valdez said that he might be working on, I don't know if this is true, you provide me an update here live on the podcast. Are the junkies getting different sweatshirts than you and I?
I just submitted sizes, and I don't think they're, I think we're all getting the same ones because I think the design turned out so well. Like everyone was happy with it.
All right,
The people who made the sweatshirts, us, all in all, we gave it a big thumbs up, and I think the thumbs up was so unanimous that we felt like the guys would wear them. Because the person was hesitant to make them again is because they didn't want to make them, and then the guys just not wear them on TV or anything.
Yeah.
And I kind of understood that, so he had a hand in the design. And he likes the design, and I like it. You like it.
Will you? Can you hand me that back patty machine over there?
Very heavy. It might be bolted in the ground.
Now, I haven't seen the final product, but am I on the cutting edge, or am I on the cutting edge of what's hot out there?
You know, you might be on the cutting edge. Although
I spend a lot of time in Abercrombie.
I had a lot of
looking at Gen Zers.
I had a lot of people DMing me. All right. Because I posted a picture of us at Monumental on Instagram. I had a lot of people commenting on your outfit.
Oh, were they joning?
Yes. They're saying, why is he wearing a hat with that nice shirt?
Well,
doesn't really know style if he's got a hat on.
I know. That's people who aren't bald. Don't have to live with that crisis. All right. So just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. I like to wear hats. I like to wear, you know, sometimes I'm going to wear a button up. I'll rock what I want to rock. And that shirt's a few years old. But whatever. I thought I looked fine.
I thought you looked fine, too.
I'm going to wear a hat. I don't know. No, I wasn't on TV, Donks. I was getting a tour.
But I will give you your props. If I could unbolt it out of Eric's seat, I'd pass you the backpack.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, speaking of Eric,
mm-hmm.
What's going on with this uptick in Venmo?
I know it's taking over the show. He's introducing himself as Eric-Bickle-3 at 6 o'clock in the morning.
We survived kind of the first wave, the first tsunami of discovering, promoting your Venmo. You remember that? It was maybe last year.
I don't like where this is going because EB has no filter. And he just will stop the show in its tracks and just blurt out whatever people Venmo him. Whether it's good content for the show, I don't understand the bit. The guy's a multimillionaire and he's panhandling for a few bucks at a time.
For instance, when I gave my Venmo for the show bit for Oklahoma State, it was kind of a bit. I printed out my QR code.
Oh yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's panhandling and it's awkward. At least I feel awkward about it. I don't know if you do, but Eric obviously feels no shame or has no shame in it. But and I don't want to say, hey, I would never accept a Venmo from a listener.
Oh no, of course
we've done that before in the past.
Yeah,
but we don't go out of our way to prostitute ourselves.
Well, it's he's begging for money, but now he's just stopping the show down to. And he won't even hold it to the right time. He won't, there's no discernment over what's being asked. He's just getting $1.50. Oh, let me ask this question on the show. It's just like putting callers right on the air without screening them.
That's your biggest pet peeve. How do we curtail it?
I don't know right now. I maybe we take some suggestions. I don't know.
Because I'm with you. I'm not saying the questions are bad.
Well, they might be.
They could be bad. But what I'm saying is sometimes we have stuff planned that we need to get to, and all of a sudden that just becomes front of the line. Yes, gets railroad. So I don't know.
How about you want to tell the biddies to stop Venmoing him? I'll tell them. If it's biddies that are Venmoing him and you listen to this show, please stop. I know there's a lot more people who listen to the Junks than Bit Season that are doing that. But if you listen, it's not helping. Because
encouraging him.
He's just obsessing over it.
I know. And there's other things with the show that I would like for him to obsess over.
Right.
What about this?
But isn't it embarrassing?
Obviously, he is not embarrassed by it.
Secondhand embarrassment.
If I were in his shoes, I would feel embarrassed. I also feel like that's, you know, why hasn't JP glommed onto it? He has a Venmo. Why hasn't Cakes, and to some extent, why hasn't Jason? Because they feel embarrassed if they started doing that, right? I mean, everyone else can do it.
I think it's the begging. Anyone would take a few bucks from listeners here and there, or a Bit Season tip, or show anything like that. But you privately message them back. Oh, thank you so much, or what?
You know. Hey, Eric, you had a you were so
but
funny.
You know what?
Your EP was so funny today, Eric. Here's $5.
You know what? Dukes used to do that bit though on air where you'd have to Venmo him $10 to unblock you on social media.
Okay.
And at first, I thought that was a terrible bit, but then I kind of warmed up to it, and I kind of liked it after a while.
It's kind of funny. What about this?
So there is potential in there. It just got to be used properly.
What about this? What about we have a whole segment geared around the tip? Okay, and then
a weekly segment.
A weekly segment. Because we're kind of in a groove now where we're doing these hypotheticals, the big deal, little deal.
Mm-hmm.
Blitz is probably going to come back. QB quarter of maybe come back. But why are we not building it in for a Thursday show? Open tip Thursday. Where you can have your questions or comments read on air every Thursday starting at, I don't know. I don't know what time you would do.
Yeah, it needs its own segment to be kind of blocked off from the rest of the show, because otherwise it will just
be a virus. So that way we can contain the virus.
Mm-hmm.
We can quarantine it to one segment a week instead of having multiple segments be interrupted with Venmo.
I dig it. I like it.
I mean, because obviously we're not going to be... It could cause a problem if we confront him about it and say, you got to stop it. If we if you go about it like that, I mean, that's just going to make friction. That's going to make even more awkwardness.
No, and look, you can't contain the genius, right?
Yeah, that's right.
There is... Evie knows what he's doing. He does know... The potential of asking those questions can be great radio and great fodder, but at the same time, it can also kind of be disruptive of what we're trying to do and the flow of the show, of some of the stuff that he just doesn't have a filter of when and when not to do it. And so we need to put him in that box a little bit and say, all right, Eric, you know, maybe you're getting some good content here. Let's try to contain it to this time period.
Okay.
But I do want to give you props. I think you're doing a great job with the Junk's Hypothetical. I'm really enjoying that segment. You're putting it together every Wednesday, and the guys are engaged to it. I think Big Deal, Little Deals is doing well, too. I think we got a couple new segments here that are not really, they're not sports or related, or if they are, if some sports mixed in with it, but it's not a sports topic. It's not Commanders
focused. This is what it is. It's, remember the Junkies cheat sheet and remember the leftover segment we used to do
those
that?
Are JP's old segments.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm repackaging those.
Right.
I'm taking stories that aren't necessarily full topic, full segment worth stuff, and then repackaging it and repurposing it and asking on air. So I know if I can't
squeeze it. It's a really great idea that you had coming up with that, Bell.
You kind of, well, I basically stole your idea.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't my idea. You stole it from Glenn Clark.
I did.
Is what I'm getting at.
I know.
Glenn does radio in Baltimore.
You know what? Tweet Glenn Clark and tell him that we stole your idea.
No, we just repackaged.
Yeah, you steal from me, you're stealing twice.
Which is Dukes is saying that he stole from Don Geronimo.
And then Drav does not like to admit that we stole QB quarter of from Amy Lawrence.
No, you say that, and I vehemently disagree. I came up with that one morning, and I'm driving I don't listen. I don't listen to Amy Lawrence. There's a 0% chance.
No.
There's a 0% chance.
I remember exactly where
I know,
we were.
You've told
when
me.
We were in your office.
And I disagree.
You're saying, how do we do more football stuff but not do it a blitz? And then I said, Amy Lawrence does this QB news segment.
No, you're misremembering.
I said, why are we not doing a QB topic?
No, you're misremembering. Because
I'm not.
It wasn't even done in my office.
Yes, I know exactly where we were. We were standing in your office when we did it. You have revisionist history.
Okay. Is Big Deal, Little Deal stolen from Colin Cowherd?
I'm sure you can find a segment just exactly like it.
I'm sure you could. You know, it's a stupid business we're in, and it's a regional product.
I know.
All right?
We're not splitting the atom over here, people.
No, but I am enjoying, maybe to the listeners, every show's the same, not that you're bored, or it's just, you know, a habit, but we do try to kind of mix it up here and there and do a little bit different stuff. We know what time of year it is. We know what pays the bills and brings in the most listeners and gets. If you don't believe us, if you get frustrated and be like, why do they talk so much Commanders, right?
Yeah.
Go to the Junkie or to the Fans YouTube page, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the videos that that we do on the Commanders, and then look how many views they get. And then if we do a non-Commanders okay. YouTube video, look at how many views that gets.
What's
it's one? Like a 10 to 1.
Okay. I was going to say, do it have me like eating the cheese sandwich?
If it's a Junkies-centric video, it does nothing. If it's a Wizards or Nats, Dylan Cruz hits first hit, or Juan Soto, nothing.
Crickets.
Cheeseman cut from the Commanders. 10-15,000 views.
Bobby Wagner farts on the sideline.
Right, yeah. So it is what it is, but we're trying our best to kind of keep the show fresh and not get everybody bored with all the Commanders content. Hey, but at the same time, you guys know the deal.
Know the drill. Hey, can I while we're riffing, can I give you my tilt of the week?
Yeah.
My tilt of the week, and I don't, it's just becoming more and more apparent, just kind of a slow burn, but I think Jason is manufacturing stress in his life.
Oh, 100%. His life's too good.
And I can't figure out why he's doing it. If it's an honest psychological disorder or psychological breakdown he's having, I can't put my finger exactly on what's going on. But there's just been this weird thing. And I'm not saying like he, you know how some people just like want to play victim or want to be victim.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Jason's like that at all, but he's just
getting deep here,
but he's just manufacturing a hardship.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand it. Like, for instance, his big thing today, and I don't know, maybe it's just radio bravado that is going over my head, but I honestly feel like he's being very honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how your big thing today, your big
stress.
I'm trying to find the other
right.
Like, what you're going to do today is your big plans for the day is moving a TV. Right.
Well, that would be okay if it's his big plan for the day, but the stress about it, the things that he's worried about in his life, I think for the majority of us out here, wouldn't even give us a second thought. The traveling thing, it blows my mind. And
I think that's just a phobia.
No, it's anything out of his comfort zone.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a phobia of flying. It's a phobia of leaving his house.
You mention that a few weeks ago? Yeah, I think you're right.
Agoraphobia.
He's got agoraphobia.
And then there, I'm sure it's not to the extreme where some people, they have panic attacks when they leave their front door. I think he has an acute case of agoraphobia.
So I wish you guys were in our post-show meeting yesterday where we're talking about some stuff that we're working on, upcoming events for the Junkies and for the station. And it was like a dog ate my homework excuse after excuse from Jason of why he couldn't be involved in stuff. He actually said that he's going to be out of town every weekend from now until the foreseeable future. And we're talking about like doing some Caps and Wizards stuff. And he couldn't commit to them because he said he was going to be gone. Everybody knows he wasn't being honest.
Hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go on my phone right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And just so I'm not making it up, I want you to read the symptoms of agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia is an anxiety disorder that causes intense fear and anxiety in situations where escape may be difficult or help may not be available. People with agoraphobia may fear having a panic attack in public or may fear being alone or leaving their home. Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. But again, he's just anything that he's not familiar with. It's not leaving his home, because he'll leave his home and he'll hang out at his buddy's house or go to Passion Fin, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those are things that are anything outside of the norm for him scares the shit out of him. I don't know how else to say it, Valdez.
It's weird. It's
the guy love him, but he's got an amazing life, and I don't understand.
Also, he was never like this before. That's right?
Well, you know, a little bit, because you see, CKO would always talk about the Super Bowl trips and what a pain in the ass the junkies were to deal with, right? Uh-huh. Because they all they did was complain the whole time and have this anxiety of, do you remember when we did, what was that thing in Bethesda called?
Oh, the 106.7 Team 980.
Fan
team,
night.
Yeah, Fan Night.
Or whatever it was. Yeah.
Team 980 and 106.7.
Jason got
fan
there night at the theater, and he had to have drinks on the way in the limo or whatever. And then he got there, and he started going, I need drinks right now. Cocktails, double, on the double. Because he was so stressed out about going on.
This is nervous. A professional broadcaster.
Professional broadcaster. And was nervous in front of going out and hanging out with his station mates on stage in front of a few hundred people that adore him.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it for 30 years. It was just like, if it's not in front of this microphone, he panics about any broadcasting. If it's anything that's out, any commute or any travel that's not on his way home,
yeah,
he panics about it. I just think his life is too good.
So you think
his life is too good. He's, not that he hasn't had bad things happen in his life. Of course he has. But his day-to-day life is so comfortable that any speed bump whatsoever throws him completely off.
So if there's any kind of pothole in the road,
yes,
he's used
to drama. It's a problem, and he gets them all worked up.
I know, but I never. It's weird because I don't know if this has been something that's been building, mm-hmm, or if he's always been like this and I never noticed.
But meanwhile, if you have like JP and Cakes are the complete opposite. They don't care about like you. They're hard. They're like
seasoned veterans.
Seasoned vets. You can't phase them. Ice in their veins, uh-huh, right? Like nothing shakes those guys. I'm not just talking as broadcasters. They just go with the flow kind of guys.
Yes.
Whatever the opposite of go with the flow is, that's Bishop. Not that he's drama necessarily. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But he's just.
He's got a routine.
Nervous. He's nervous. He kind of flusters. It's not my tilt of the week, but that is interesting that is what is bothering you the most right now. I could tell that it was bothering you.
I couldn't believe like if you asked me, "Hey, I want to buy this sofa from you, and can you move it 50 yards for me?" You know what I mean? I would do it and we'll be done with it. I wouldn't have this
big conundrum.
I wouldn't get this worked up about it.
Yeah.
I would just do it, take care of it, and it'd be done.
But I will say it's making for good radio. Like people living vicariously through him,
people like his stresses.
You know, the top dog is stressed. People are digging that insider look inside of Jason's life. So I do appreciate him sharing it.
What about the travel stress? Do you think the travel stress is the same way, or
the travel stress just annoys me, and it annoys me because he's a pauper. Right, it's a one percenter flying across the country for first. He said he would never do that. Like, you know, I would never want to do that again. Is what he said. The guy flew first class to Pebble Beach. I mean, it's just. Some people find the problems in anything.
Well, what about his stressing his Nashville trip?
Well, yeah, the same thing.
It's an hour long flight. Mm-hmm.
But some people are just built that way.
If I was in Jason's shoes, I would feel like pumped. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, me and the family are going to Nashville. I've never been to Nashville before. I dig country music. This is going to be a fun time. I'm going to a tech game with my girls and you know, we're going to hang out and on Broadway and have dinner. I got some good recommendations for dinners from listeners.
I got my
tickets from
do you know who my number one guy is to travel with?
Who's that?
It's JP.
JP's a great traveler.
JP is the best. Cart that up. You've never heard me say that before. JP is the best. When we go on these trips, he's just go with the flow. Nothing's planned out. I'm vibing with him.
Hey, when do you want to go get dinner now?
Should we go get dinner?
Where do you want to go?
We'll find something. You want to just drive down this road here? We'll see if anything looks good.
Yeah. See what pops up. I will say, traveling with JP is very easy. Mm-hmm. But I only have one stress when I travel with JP. It's his time management versus my time management.
Different. You guys clash. That. See, I'm the opposite.
Yes, I know. You tilt me with your time management.
Yeah. Well, I don't like it when you say that because that's a shot at me.
It's not a shot at you.
Well, that is. It's a shot at me. It's a you're trying to say I'm unprepared.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
You're neurotic.
I'm not. No.
You and Jason. You should travel with Jason.
No, I'm not neurotic. Yeah. I am just very detail oriented. Mm. And that's not a shot at you, but I'm just saying that everything's planned for me. Mm. I like to have stuff planned. I like punctuality. I don't like wasting minutes in my day.
No, yeah. See, that's like when I go to, say if I go to Disney World, right? I would just show up at Disney World. And you would have every minute of that day planned out.
Can I tell you what tilts me about you?
You're going to tell me, so.
All right. This is what tilts me. Drab tilts me for about 24 minutes every day. Mm. All right? As soon as the show ends, Drab disappears for about 24 minutes. And there's a lot of things that I'm trying to take care of, a lot of things that I'm trying to figure out, and Drab is nowhere to be found. Mm. And And I've tried texting you before.
You go
incognito.
Yeah.
There is a 24 minute.
That 24 minutes.
No, I swear to God.
Sometimes it is.
You show up, you leave like right after the show's over, and then all of a sudden you disappear for 24 minutes. I have no idea where you go. I think sometimes you poop. I think you're pooping a lot.
Sometimes. Sometimes I go over by like El Zol and I just sit over there and I look at emails on my phone or I text stuff about the show. Sometimes I call Awad about his show.
But that's where I'm different. Is that?
Well, I know because you're trying to leave at 10:35. No, some of us work full days. You're trying to work a 5-hour day and go to the gym. That's why you got something to ask me, need from me, and you're trying to get one foot out the door.
No, I'm trying to take care of stuff as quickly as possible. Drab, on the other hand, is the opposite. So that's my other tilt of the week is the 24 minutes that you're gone. It's almost like a Jack Bauer countdown.
Sometimes it's 20 minutes or so.
This is what I want everyone to do. Is after 10 o'clock, after the show is over tomorrow, try to figure out where's Drabby.
I'm working. I'm doing stuff. I'm all over the place.
So where in the world is Drabby San Diego? Just have no idea where you are in the office. I got promos to cut. I got to double check with you. Yeah. Do we have tomorrow? I got to.
That's okay because at 10:36, when I try to find you, you're in your car on two wheels up out of Navy Yard. All right. Don't give me an easier. But my 20 minutes of sitting in a cubicle somewhere.
Hey, you know what was so funny is at our meeting. I'm not sure if you remember this moment, but at our meeting that we had with Monumental, and we're having a kind of a power lunch.
A power. We don't know exactly. Me and Valdez are exactly answers this week. I know.
We're having our power lunch, and one of the bigwigs over at Monumental goes like, so what is your day like? And then CK's there, our big boss.
I know.
And then I go,
why did you lie?
I know.
Why did you lie?
I feel sheepish. I said, I got to figure out how I can get to my burn class in Vienna at noon every day in front of my big boss.
We had a big power lunch. Valdez told these people he only works 6 hours, 5 hours a day. I was like, what are you doing?
And then I said, never really stops. That's what I said.
He tried to say, as soon as I leave here and get home, I open my emails at home.
Yeah.
I'm like,
work never stops.
Yeah.
Always collecting show content.
The only thing you're opening is your 85% ground beef that you're cooking for lunch after your burn class.
The only thing I'm opening is my gin app to type my golf score in.
Right. Valdez doesn't like my half a show routine. I know. I go into a corner and I cry. I cry. This is my life. It's just another 4 hours down the drain.
I gotta let you know that this episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep. Show your support for Drab and his 24 minutes of unanswered time at work and myself by heading to don'tsleepenergy.com right now. When you get there, use that promo code BITTIES to save 10% on every order. You need a quick boost? To get through a CrossFit workout like I have every day at noon, put a 2 ounce energy shot in your gullet. You need to stay ready in case your wife calls you into action unexpectedly, Drab. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can of Don't Sleep Energy. Throw some swag in your cart before you check out. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great.
I just remember what my tilt of the week is, Valdez. I'll tell you what it is when we come back.
Ooh, great tease.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back to Bit Season, episode 141. Drabby, you teased heading into break that you suddenly found out or suddenly just thought of your tilt of the week. I'm begging to hear it. I hope maybe it's not as psychologically driven as mine. I'm assuming that. So why don't you let me know, let our listeners know, what was tilting you this week?
It's tough for me to take shots at these guys. As parents, right? Because of all the joning we do on them or complaining we do or ribbing, they are phenomenal parents and they care about their kids and they love their kids. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I aspire to be as good as parents as they are. However,
but
I don't understand the bragging and also how they get away with not caring or being involved in their kids' academics.
Oh, are you talking about the parent-teacher? Like
I'm talking
about all encompassing.
I thought it was embarrassing that JP was bragging about not knowing his kids' teachers' names or not knowing anything about his daughter's
about the curriculum,
like what she does. He says, "What does he always say? That's not my."
Oh, that's not my department.
That's not my department. All right. First of all, it makes me laugh that they actually have departments of like, and you know, JP, that has been like discussed where he says sports is, you know, my department.
Yeah, I'm the coach.
Fashion clothes is your department. Passports are your department. But it's the bragging about it. Like if they were embarrassed about it, I think it would be like, hey, you know, this is really sad and I got to get better at this. Uh-huh. I couldn't remember my kid's teacher's name or something, you know. But no, it was just the kind of the bragging. And then today, they basically did a, who reads? What kind of loser reads? What does someone need to read for?
Hiking and reading.
Why would someone read a book? That's so stupid. Why are high schoolers having to read Shakespeare? Why are they having to read novels?
That is very tilted.
You can't learn anything.
You definitely hit on something right there. It's the no. It's the jock mentality. School is for
losers.
For loser nerds.
But didn't EB want to become a teacher at some point, or he
guidance
got his master's?
Counselor.
Guidance counselor. But he hates school. He loathes school, but he wanted to guide people. He wanted to counsel people. It's the most ironic thing ever.
Huge oxymoron discovered.
All right. The guy thinks school is a complete joke, thinks anything that you study is a complete joke. Meanwhile, it's not surprising that these guys haven't developed any critical thinking skills when they are opposed to reading. And that is,
I will agree with you that it's not about, ugh, why do we gotta read A Midsummer's Night Dream?
Some of it I can understand. Like, oh, we spend too much. Not every student should be forced to take calculus in high school, right?
Yes.
I can understand that if you don't have an interest in going into math and sciences, or there's some pushback. But we're talking reading here. That's what third graders say. I don't read books. Books are for losers. I don't read them. No, I'm not cranking out novels in my adult life all the time. It's something I wish I was better at. But I understand the importance of being
when you're,
in
when
high
you're,
school.
Yeah, when you're 12, and, 13, yeah. 14 years old about reading To Kill a Mockingbird.
And not only that, improving your reading skills, improving your writing skills, improving your thought process.
It's about understanding what you're reading.
Yes.
It's about figuring out the themes of what you're reading, the plots of what you're reading, the symbolism of what you're reading.
Yeah, because, you know, not everybody becomes radio DJs or welders or
HVAC,
you know, works in a chef or something. Like, some people actually need these skills to succeed in life, and we depend on them to keep our society functioning properly. So it's not necessarily for everybody, but, dude, we're talking the basics here.
I would agree with you.
But then someone said Huck Finn. Who said it? Or was that you? Did one of them say Huck Finn? Why would you read Huck Finn?
Oh, did they say that?
Maybe you did. Or maybe it was off air.
That's ridiculous. I mean, you kind of have to read these American classics. It's a rite of passage. Everyone has read The Scarlet Letter.
Also, they teach you a lot of morals and values and things that you may not be getting at your house, or how society works.
Yes, how are you going to learn racial relations at that age without reading about
100%.
It?
100%. I mean, it just ricks me. But going back to the bragging about not being involved in their kids' academics, it's tough. They got great spouses. They picked incredible spouses. I will say that, because not having to engage at all in your kids' academics, it's kind of embarrassing. Is it not embarrassing?
I think it's embarrassing. Although I will say,
I will say,
growing up, my mom was the one who made sure I did my homework.
Mm-hmm.
I did, like. My dad.
So are you saying it's not for it, the mention?
It isn't
the 1960s anymore, right? We should be more balanced.
I know, I understand that, but I will say that it was a mom endeavor in our household.
Yeah.
Until we finally learned how to just do it ourselves, and then we didn't have anyone over our shoulder making sure we did our homework. And to be honest with you, this is not a shot at my father, but my mom is smarter than my dad. And so it may be a Dina is smarter than Eric situation.
Well, is there any question?
It may be a Jess is smarter than JP situation.
What ridiculous thing did EB ask on the show this week? Like, he didn't know how something worked, or he didn't know about something. I'll remember it later, but it was show stopping that he verbalized something he didn't know.
So that's why my mom was more hands on with it than my dad.
Sure, also, and women also, are more detail-oriented.
Yes, and also
part.
I think there is a little bit of a gender role thing to it as well, where school is considered.
Okay, but we're taught.
I know.
Your teacher's name? I mean, how uninvolved can you be?
Yeah, my dad knew my teacher's name.
Yeah,
I think
it was.
So hold on.
It ricks me. I don't know. What else
so
to say.
Do you think the guys never said hey Brendan, what did you learn at school today?
Or never. They don't care.
Kate, what did you learn at school today?
Would you play in PE?
Oh, you think they're that?
I don't know.
They're the sporty guys.
I don't know.
My
kids aren't. I'll never. Blake and Tinsley, God bless them, probably aren't going to Cornell. They're not smart enough. EB's kids, way smart. Probably they're one percenters in intelligence. Kate, also great student. Stevie somehow figured it out.
Why do you say that about Blake and Tinsley? You don't have high expectations for them academically?
No, I do. I do. I want them to go to university. But those are one percenters. They get to go to those universities. They got my genes. My wife's genes have average intelligence, right? We can figure a couple things out. Some things we do pretty well. But EB, I don't know. They got his wife's brain.
All right. Well, how involved are you in your twins' academics?
Very involved. Very involved.
Are you?
Well, my wife's a teacher. So they're three. I don't mean. But I know their teachers' names. I know the kids' names in their classroom. I know. I pick them up a lot. You know,
I think also it starts, and this is just me spitballing, mm-hmm. but I remember the guys, they always have this fear or phobia of like trying to help their kids with their homework and mm-hmm. then having like the fractions be so hard they don't understand it. And
yeah, but that's a rite of passage for parents.
I know, but I think as soon as that happens, you punch out, you check out.
Mm-hmm.
You go. Now this is over my. I'm in over my skis mm-hmm. here now. I'm gonna have to check out. So maybe like after sixth, seventh, eighth grade, all of a sudden you're not as involved anymore. I'm just spitballing.
I don't remember my dad helping me with school projects.
Dad never did.
I remember going to my dad for math help a lot of times. But the poster board project, right, or something like that. My dad wasn't sitting there making sure that I had it finished. That was my mom. She was on me mm-hmm. making sure that the science project was finished, right? But my dad would never brag about, oh, I don't readings for losers, you know.
Hey, you know my little son Drab. I didn't help him with his diorama.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just it ricks me when they say that because they get away with it. For lack of a better phrase.
Do you remember any of your science fair projects?
Of course. I thought we've talked about them before. I went to the science fair, the regional science fair.
For what again?
How long can milk be left out on the counter?
Yeah.
Right? Is milk, it was some sort of phrase like that. Can you drink milk when you get home from school if it's left out on the counter? And the answer is yes. You can leave milk out for 8 hours. The bacteria doesn't grow.
Interesting.
According to Matt Cahill's project.
I'm thinking about... No, my mom helped me with my mousetrap car.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to do the mousetrap cars?
I think it was like we did it in class.
Yeah, we had to design one at home. Mom helped me with that. Dad, nothing to do with it. Egg drop. Do you guys do the egg drop?
Of course.
Mom helped me with that. Dad didn't do anything with that.
Would everybody just use the egg cushion from a mattress?
Yeah. What about the ice cube challenge? Did you have an ice cube challenge?
I don't remember the ice cube challenge.
The ice cube challenge was you had to come back to the elementary school. We did this in fifth grade. You had to come back to the elementary school at 7 o'clock at night, and you had to bring in your contraption to keep the ice cube still solid until school started at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Mm, all right. Interesting.
Yes.
Did you bring in a Yeti?
No, but I do remember Alex Antonelli. She brought in dry ice. It was a major controversy.
That is a major. That's cheating.
Yeah, it was cheating.
Yeah.
No, but I designed a styrofoam cup, and then there was a top on it with a tiny hole punched in because I was smart enough to realize that if the ice cube wasn't submerged in water, it wouldn't melt as quickly.
Mm.
So. Sell it.
All right. And you passed?
And I passed. But I will say, all in all, I'm saying that, and then he's like, oh, your dad didn't help you with it? My dad did work 10,000 jobs. So.
Yeah.
So he was working.
Well, the junkies work 4 hours a day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
I know. The other thing that that's I think we got to discuss. I know we're doing. Is it seem like we're piling on the guys, but we're just having fun here, just discussing the show.
Yeah, we can't make fun of them on air, so we do it during here.
What about EB attacking potheads? I saw a lot of blowback on Twitter about that yesterday.
Really?
A lot of people DMing him saying, you got to update your file, EB. It's not just pothead losers. See, once EB gets dialed in on something.
I did see someone, his Twitter exchange with someone where he goes, how are you enjoying your 65th drink this month, Eric?
Yeah, so that's... Eric's a borderline probably has an issue with alcohol. Can we say that?
Sure.
I'll say borderline. I don't know. I don't. Could Eric quit drinking for 6 months if you asked him to today?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think it might. I think it might be a struggle for him. There's some screaming going on behind us. The midday show is having some fun. It looks like. Eric is abusing drugs. On a daily basis, right?
Yeah.
And he's calling these people losers that are everybody that goes into the pot store. And now, again, he needs to update his file. A lot of people have chronic pain, maybe some depression that they're using it for. Maybe that's a Parkinson's or something like that that it helps out with.
Not everybody
is just smoking doobies all day, being a loser on the, you know.
Well, that's
their mom's basement.
All right, I will say that's Eric's frame of reference. Eric doesn't.
I know, but
he doesn't understand that it's. It's evolved from the 16-year-old making gravity bongs in their basement.
Right.
Like he doesn't understand that that's how that it's evolved from there. That's all.
Yeah, no, I understand that. That's what's kind of like he's being a little too. I know he's being funny.
He's being funny.
I get it.
Yeah.
And I was laughing.
He's being archaic.
He's a little too judgmental. We're talking pot here, okay? We're not talking meth. We're talking a little smoke and a little weed, Valdez.
It's
not a big deal.
I get it.
I think you'd be surprised about how many people in his life that are high achievers that smoke weed.
But don't you understand, Drabby, that partly it's a pie chart right now. There's a percentage of Eric who is trying to be funny and it's working and it's
of course
and it's like the Laurel thing. He's needling you. He knows it's getting under your skin. But there's also a percentage.
You're telling me that the EB doesn't believe that anyone who smokes weed is a loser?
I think there's just a small truth to it. That's all. But I also think that there's a part of the pie chart where it's projection. Because Eric knows that he's doing this. You're a loser because you're consuming it all day with alcohol.
So it's partly
Laurel, all right, where he's being bombastic and he's being over the top and he's being hyperbolic about it, and that's he's putting on a show. But there's also a small percentage of it where he replaces the word weed with booze, and then there's some self-reflection.
All right.
I think that is...
What was he saying today that he was stereotyping? That he said you can't...
Hikers.
Throw hikers. Yeah, okay, hikers.
I know.
Eric could use some exercise. he could use some fresh air. Go touch grass, Eric.
I mean, I think I've hiked once in my life, but if that's what you'd like to do, that's what you like to do.
Eddie Bauer is not just a hiking company.
I know. But this is just the weird part and the dramatic part about it. Like, why is it okay? Why is it okay for you to enjoy musicals, but it's not okay for someone else to enjoy hiking?
He said it's a curveball.
It's the weirdest thing in the world. I don't understand it. How are you a loser if you like to go hiking, you're not a loser if you enjoy music?
Because he prefaced it with, I know this is going to sound bad, but this is my thing, basically. You know, this is a curveball. He said curveball and margins 10 million times today. We're working on margins here. He said that. Go listen to the first 2 hours of the show.
And you know what? John Kine must have said that a million times in his podcast.
I got a question for you. Yeah. Here in your notes on your section, it says guys love big TVs.
Yeah.
What is I actually think I might have a problem with you.
Okay.
But I want to hear what you have to say about this. So what does this mean, guys? Is this going back to obviously Jason?
Yeah, I was talking about Jason and his 85-inch mm-hmm. TV. Michael Marr, he has an 85-inch TV. Just any dude, you can't have a TV big enough for a room. Like for that's I was trying to shoehorn a comedy bit in today. I was working out my material.
Oh, you were?
I was.
During the show?
Yeah, during the show.
Oh.
You didn't hear me doing it?
No, I tuned you out.
Okay. what's with the women and the small TVs? I was trying to do all that.
Uh-huh.
If that's my women be shopping.
Cakes has a tiny TV.
Yes, he does. It's emasculating having a tiny TV.
Women,
I don't know what it is, but they can look at a room and tell you a TV's too big for it. A guy, on the other hand, there's no such thing in the world as a too big of a TV for a room. That's what I say.
Well, I agree and I disagree. First off, Cakes has a tiny TV in the kitchen because Amy runs the house and tells him what to do.
Okay.
T runs the Bishop house, I think. Not to the degree of Amy, but if she's the decor queen, right? She's got a side business. She knows what makes the house look good. She tells Jason, we're not doing that. We're not, you know.
No, but Jason, see, the thing is,
no, so I think that's what
Jason
happened.
Has a basement.
I know, but that doesn't mean it's his basement. It's not a man cave. Still, she's still in charge of the decor down there.
Look, guys have a size fetish, right?
I don't have a size fetish.
I have a size fetish.
This is my problem with you.
That could be too small.
You and Mike Marr and all these other donks out there are buying these. It's because I was traumatized. I was traumatized in college, and it all goes back to this. My roommate, Brandon Baird, he wanted a big screen TV so bad. We had a good TV, right? You could watch USC perfectly fine. Matt Leinart stomped these Pac-10 schools by 40 points. It looked perfect, right? It was before the HD time. We're talking 2002, 2003 here. I loved it. My effing roommate Brandon had such a hard on for a big screen. You have the biggest TV possible.
Yeah, of course. Like so, a real man. I want to be friends with Brandon.
He somehow bought the neighbor next door was moving out during the summer, so we got his TV. He rolled it over. It was at one of those 1990 big screen TVs that weighed 7,000 pounds.
Yes.
Took up the entire room.
I know.
The worst effing picture quality I've ever seen on a TV. Unwatchable. Literally unwatchable. He ruined 2 years of my life with his dumb TV. I didn't socialize with them in the family. I went into my own room and watched games and played PlayStation and everything on my little tiny bedroom TV because of his dumb fetish with a dick measuring contest about how big his TV was. It ruined the house. We had the baddest house. Awesome.
I don't understand. Ruined it. What happened to your TV?
Because you guys out there think that the adding inches to your television adds inches to your dick. And I'm so annoying. I'm a picture quality guy, Valdez.
You're emotion in the ocean guy.
I'm emotion in the ocean guy. I have a very expensive TV. Very expensive. I spent way too much money on my LG OLED TV, okay? 8 years ago, I bought it. It's, first of all, it's pencil thin. That's what I like, pencil thin. And it's the blackest blacks.
Hey, you're describing OLED 4K pencil thin.
Yeah.
Like they're bedroom toys that you need.
Maybe they are.
Get your partner off. You need some bedroom toys.
I can.
You need to get the high one in your living room.
I can tell the color difference in each blade of grass on that thing. Okay, you guys, you and Mike Marr. I refuse to go over to Mike Marr's house and watch a game on that crappy ass Brock Sonic 87-inch television that he's got, some no-name brand from China or whatever it is, and it was horrible picture quality. I'm a picture quality snob. No, I don't have a 27-inch TV. I got a 65-inch big, not medium silly TV. All right, but it's
65 is small nowadays.
I know for you losers out there that need impress people, but my picture quality blows yours out of the water. You guys will sit there and watch games on your TL TLC TV.
You know, you might as well watch games on an iPad when you have 65-inch.
87-inch TV for $250.
I've never heard a more American sentence in my life.
Oh, my God. Drives me nuts. Tim Benson.
Tim Allen. Dual time.
It's Ben for duels. Whatever. Losers.
What do you mean, losers? Hey, you know what? Enjoy your operas on your 65-inch TV.
Sure, I'm watching opera.
Hey, how's Hamilton?
Yeah.
Is that why?
You know what I'm watching?
Hamilton doesn't look good on an 85-inch TV. That's why you have your 65-inch number.
Rick, I'll be watching Georgia-Clemson on Saturday in 8K. All right, when you get HD, let me know on that 87-inch TV that you got.
What do you mean?
You watch it in standard def.
It looks like Carson Beck is throwing a ball right at your effing face.
Big TVs are annoying. And also, I'm going to side with the women. They kind of look like crap on the wall. They look like crap.
Bro,
I'm a Samsung frame guy.
I
got to
get rid of your man card.
No.
You got to take your man card back.
Have you seen the Samsung frame TV? What? I like those. That's more my speed, where it turns into a piece of art when it's not on.
You know why I drab like 65-inch and less TVs? It's
why?
Because that's where they're at the wineries on Saturdays, where drab is during college football season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Valdi, you're on the couch, my big couch, my lazy boy, my beer, I'm scratching my nuts.
Yeah, got your side fridge, big TV, recliner.
87-inch TV, 89-inch wall. it's like a refrigerator in the cabinet.
It's like a glove.
Right. Yeah. So annoying.
Hey, you gotta take some lube and ease that TV up on the wall.
Here's my Roku remote for my TLC TV. Get out of here. All right. I think that's two tilts of the week.
There you go. Glad you got that off your chest.
I did. Did you like, last thing, did you like the Keith Lee discussion?
I did. I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was nice updating the guys. The guys got to be updated on the happenings of DC.
I thought it was weird that they kind of keyed in on his cadence. I thought we could have had a really good discussion.
But Evie was locked in on his poor broadcasting.
About the DC food scene or lack thereof DC food scene. But it just turned into this is what Keith Lee segment turned into. How does he talk like that? And I can't believe he's has 16 million viewers.
Now, I want people to go back and listen. All right.
Give them homework.
I want you to listen to JP no sell Keith Lee and not participate in those segments. And the reason why, this is just I know him. He views Keith Lee as competition to Kelsey.
Kelsey's competition?
He's Kelsey's, so he refused to make it
Kelsey and Keith Lee totally different things.
No, they're both food reviewers, and JP is Rick that Keith Lee is globally famous, right? And the news reports are talking about him coming to town when he, maybe rightfully so, he's putting over his daughter, thinks that Kelsey has the best content out there.
Content war?
Yeah, it's a content war. So he's no-selling her. He doesn't believe, Valdez, that rising tides raise all ships. And so go back and listen. He barely talks during those segments. And when he does, he kind of like makes dismissive remarks about Keith.
Okay, I'm going to have to...
I picked up on that.
Yeah, what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
I'll have to keep an ear out for that.
No, Kelsey's great. I love Kelsey. But there's, Keith Lee's on a different level.
I didn't realize that. But I was hoping the discussion would be more so food-centric and not the creative.
And some of that food that he took pictures of or they say were stock photos that he didn't really, did look horrible. I mean, what are we doing?
I know.
That slop on in styrofoam.
Well, one of those places, they said we stand by our food. Remember the one with those sloppy wings and the mac and cheese?
Yeah.
They tweeted the picture of it and they said we stand by our food.
Well,
that
did not look good. Did that look good to you?
No, that looked awful. I think we had the theory that DC is more of a higher end restaurant city than a place that has good takeout
who goes to like nice restaurants? Who's the nice restaurant TV guys or someone who fills that void, goes in Michelin stars, go Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, well, yeah, you need like a food reviewer, someone for, in a magazine, like a magazine.
DC's more of a show for
the
that
like
type.
Someone in the Washingtonian who writes for a Washingtonian.
Fine dining.
Fine dining. I would say DC is more of a fine dining place.
But
than
was
a casual.
It not embarrassing now that DC it is was known as having
it was embarrassing.
Food.
And then it was embarrassing how people were acting about it, too.
What? Like, that they were a little Rick? Well, I mean, it is your city. It's your hometown. You don't want to be joned on. If you went up to Baltimore and said, Baltimore food is horrible. It also, dog food. Right? You'd be a little Rick. If you went to Pasadena, if you went to some place in Pasadena.
He went to Mike's and said these crab cakes suck.
Yeah, if you went to what the Point or whatever it's called.
I do like the Point.
He said, this place is as horse slop.
I'm surprised you haven't remembered the Point.
Yeah. Get your feelings hurt.
I guess I would.
A Pickles Pub.
I would never eat at Pickles Pub.
Okay. All right. Point.
But it was weird. Like, I did notice this, and this isn't a DC versus Baltimore thing, and I'm not trying to make it that, but they were shocked that he had rave reviews for Baltimore takeout, Baltimore carryout, Baltimore casual food over DC casual food. Well, this is what people should treat it like. Keith Lee opened your eyes and it gave you guys an awakening.
You know what opened my eyes? In House of Cards, Kevin Spacey, remember he would always sneak away
to that rib joint.
To that rib joint in Baltimore.
Well, it was shot in Baltimore.
Right?
Yes, but it was
supposed to be D.C. I know that place is in Baltimore. It was supposed, you know, like, and so I was thinking, I've been thinking, maybe before this, like, maybe Baltimore does have silly, just food, corner food, places like that, and Keith Lee proved it. Is that maybe that's not a real barbecue place? I have no idea. In Baltimore,
I don't never heard of it.
Oh, okay. What about Boog's Barbecue?
Yeah, you have to say Boog's. That's right on Utah Street.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening today. I tried to give you a look behind the scenes of the Junkies. A lot of this is just we're just having fun spitballing here and talking about the show. Don't take it too seriously.
Everyone, take a picture of your big-ass TV and TV shame. TV shame drab.
For all you out there that have expensive TVs, you got a name-brand TV, unlike Valdez, one that's made in America. No, made in South Korea. Let me know.
Made in America. How many American-made TVs are there?
You got one of those Chinese TVs like Valdez? Send that picture to him. All right, guys. Have a great day, and we'll see you back on the Junkies.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.